Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning, and welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking, and I'd like to welcome you to today's broadcast. Today's broadcast has been sponsored through the generous contribution of an anonymous donor, and we'd like to thank him for his generosity. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.gncm.ca. And we'd love to hear from you about how this program is impacting your lives. Well, today I'm looking at an important topic, namely the topic of suffering. And the title of my broadcast is Wrestling with the Word. To help us understand suffering, I thought it would be best that we dive into one of the Psalms, namely Psalm 119. This psalm is impressive and imposing, and perhaps even intimidating because of its length. Indeed, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. C.S. Lewis says this about Psalm 119. He says, "It is not and does not pretend to be a sudden outpouring of the heart. Rather, it is a pattern, a thing done like embroidery, stitch by stitch, through long, quiet hours." Well, Psalm 119 is comprised of 22 equal stanzas, and each is headed by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So each poetic line in the first stanza begins with the letter Aleph, and each line in the second stanza begins with Beth, and so on. This elaborate and intricate psalm has a theme, and the theme is the Word of God. And I think it's going to be very instructive for how to deal with suffering. Now, last thing to say about Psalm 119 is that it uses all kinds of different words for the Word of God. The first and most frequent term is Torah, which is translated as law, and broadly means instruction or teaching. Other terms that can be considered synonyms of Torah are used, namely decree or precept, statute, command, ordinance, or promise. All of these are pointing to the Word of God. When we come back in a moment, we're going to look at how to wrestle with the Word in the midst of our suffering. But I want us to pause and listen to a song you know well, namely Lean on Me.
When you're not strong, I'll be afraid. somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride. If I have things you need to borrow for, no one can fill all of those needs that you won't let show. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. Said you might have a problem, but I'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're looking at the topic of suffering. And we want to learn how to suffer well by wrestling with the Word of God. We're going to look at Psalm 119, but before we do, let me just give you a statistic. In June of 2008, Barna posted this statistic in an article entitled, What Americans Want Most. Barna identified that 59% of Americans in 1991 wanted good physical health, but that jumped to 70% in 2008. That was their highest goal, was good physical health. Indeed, we don't want to suffer. And churches don't necessarily do a good job at equipping us for suffering. You've all heard of the prosperity gospel. Churches are not necessarily preparing us for suffering and how to suffer well. But Jesus promised that we would in fact suffer if we followed him diligently. And the Beatitudes tell us that we're blessed when we suffer, when we're at the end of our rope, because then there can be less of us and more of God. So we don't need to run away from suffering. We need to embrace it and suffer well. To that end, I'm going to look at three things today. First of all, how to situate our suffering. Then, how to surrender our suffering. And lastly, how to shine through our suffering. Let's start with situating our suffering. Situating our suffering. We need to understand as Christians that we are, in the words of John Stott, between two worlds. We're between two worlds, namely the already and the not yet. The already and the not yet. You see, on the one hand, Christ has ushered in the kingdom of God. And he's reconciling all things to himself and he's making all things new. That's the good news. But on the other hand, we still live in a broken world, one full of pain and sorrow. That's why Romans 8 says that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. The message says this. It says, I'm homesick. I'm longing for your salvation and I'm waiting for your word of hope. So we need to situate our suffering in the context that our world is broken. And so we need to expect and be ready for suffering. Not avoid it at all costs, not self-medicate, not vacation until the cows come home. We need to actually be prepared and ready to suffer. So I wonder, what type of suffering are you facing this morning? Perhaps some of you have health challenges. Perhaps some of you are facing bullies. Others, challenges at work. Well, I want you to know good news this morning. When we suffer, we can hear God's voice often the clearest. C.S. Lewis explained it this way. He said, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. The psalmist in 119 knew that he needed to situate his suffering in the Word of God. In verse 69, he says this. Verse 69 of Psalm 119, he says, the arrogant smear me with lies. That's suffering, friends. The psalmist goes on to say, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. In verse 70, he says, their hearts are fat and gross, but I delight in your law. And in verse 87, he says, they have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. You see, the psalmist knew that apart from God's word, his suffering would lack hope and would lack purpose and comfort. Always, we must situate our suffering with the word of God in our hand. And then we will likely not ask, why me? But rather, we will likely ask, why not me? Because Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Okay, we're going to pause and listen to a song called Put Your Hand in the Hand of God. And when we come back, we're going to look at surrendering our suffering and then shining through our suffering.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the holy book, I wanna tremble when I read about the part where a carpenter cleared the temple. For the buyers and the sellers were no different fellows than what I profess to be. And it causes me pain to know I'm not the guy that I should be. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Mama taught me how to pray before I reached the age of 7. And when I'm down on my knees, that's when I'm close to heaven. Daddy lived his life with two kids and a wife. You do what you must do. But he showed me enough of what it takes to get you through. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
And in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're looking at the important and weighty topic of suffering. And we're looking at Psalm 119 to learn how to suffer as God would have us suffer. Before the break, we looked at situating our suffering in the context of God's Word. When we do that, by the way, we will see that we suffer for multiple reasons. Sometimes we suffer for doing the right thing. Sometimes we suffer because of God's discipline. Well, right now I want us to look at surrendering our suffering. Surrendering our suffering. Now, Psalm 119 was most likely written in the post-exilic era. So the psalmist knows firsthand the oppression of evil. He has been surrounded by wickedness and pursued by the arrogant and the proud. He has been humbled by sorrow and disgrace. Yet his refuge is constantly in God. Yes, friends, the psalmist is suffering in 119. In five successive stanzas, the psalmist has spoken of his ill treatment. In verse 42, he is taunted. In verse 51, he is mocked. In verse 61, he is bound. In verse 69, he is smeared. And in verse 78, he is wronged. So, how does the psalmist surrender his suffering to God? Well, look at what he does. You will notice that the psalmist constantly cries out to God, retreats into his shadow, and finds solace in his strength. Verse 81 of Psalm 119, it says this, "My soul faints with longing for your salvation." That's suffering, friends. And it goes on to say, "But I have put my hope in your word." Friends, what do you put your hope in today? Do you put your hope in your credit card? In your medicine? Heck, do you put it in Dr. Phil? Well, listen to verse 87. "They almost wiped me from the earth. But, says the psalmist, I refuse to abandon your commandments." These buts represent the psalmist's fierce determination to surrender everything, including his suffering, to God. Now, I might as well pause and even tackle that question that I'm so often asked as a pastor. Why would God even allow this suffering into the psalmist's life? Well, there's a few reasons. First of all, suffering produces character. Rick Warren explains that since God intends to make you like Jesus, he will take you through the same experiences Jesus went through, including loneliness, temptation, stress, criticism, and rejection. Romans 5 says suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. The good news is that character produces hope. Another reason God allows suffering is that it can be a form of witness. 2 Corinthians 4 explains we have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. Suffering is also in our lives, perhaps, because it can be God's testing in disguise. James 1 says, "Consider it pure joy when you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." So God, in his holy wisdom, allows suffering in our lives, but we must surrender it to God with his word in hand. Look at how the psalmist does it in 119. He wrestles with his suffering with the word of God in hand. In verse 82, he says, "My eyes fail with watching for your promise, and I ask, when will you comfort me?" And in verse 84, he says, "How long must your servant endure?" What the psalmist is doing here, friends, is he's asking questions aloud, and I want you to know that in the midst of your suffering, questions are good. Anne Lamott explains that the opposite of faith is not doubt, it's actually certainty. You're allowed some doubt in the time of your trial. Cry out to God with your questions. Run towards Him, not away from Him. Surrender your suffering, and when you do, you will discover that God never wastes a hurt. All right, we've looked now at situating our suffering in the Word of God and surrendering our suffering to the Word of God. Let's wrap up with shining through our suffering. You know, when we suffer as Christians, we actually share in Christ's sufferings. Acts 5 explains this in verse 41. It says, "The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name." When we suffer, and when we share in Christ's sufferings, we are called to shine. C.H. Spurgeon knew this well, and he said this, "I have learned to kiss the wave that strikes me against the rock of ages." Friends, embrace suffering as best you can. Don't flee from it, because the world is watching, and they're waiting to see how you will handle whatever is testing you. So how do you shine in the midst of suffering? How do you shine when you want to weep? How do you shine when you want to die? Well, John Bunyan says, "I never had in all my life so great an inlet into the Word of God as now in prison." Bunyan is telling us that the answer is in the Word. And the psalmist knows this too. In Psalm 119, verse 67, the psalmist says this, "Before I was humbled, I went astray, but now I keep your word." And in verse 71, he says, "It is good for me that I was humbled, so that I might learn your statutes." We shine, first of all, by embracing the Word of God. But we also shine by persevering in the midst of our testing. Listen to this famous story, and I wonder if you can identify the gentleman. The year was 1831, and this gentleman failed in business. He went bankrupt. In 1833, he was back on his feet, but he failed again. In 1835, his fiancée died. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he ran for Speaker of the House in the United States, but was defeated. In 1840, he ran for the office of elector and was defeated. In 1843, he ran for Congress and was defeated. In 1848, he ran again for Congress and was defeated. In 1855, he ran for the Senate and was defeated. In 1856, he ran for vice president and was defeated. In 1858, he ran for the Senate again and was defeated again. And then in 1860, he ran for the President of the United States, and guess what? He was elected, and he became one of the greatest presidents to have ever lived. His name? Abraham Lincoln. This man persevered and shined through his suffering. 1 Peter 4 encourages us to shine in the midst of our suffering. It says this in verse 13, "Rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Friends, I want to encourage you today to shine in the midst of your suffering, because the world is watching. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And my prayer this hour is that you will pour out fresh comfort to every listener today. Every listener is experiencing suffering in some form, be it persecution, be it poverty, be it sickness, be it worry, be it fear. And my prayer, Lord, is that every listener today will situate their suffering in the Word of God, that they will surrender their suffering to the Word of God, and that they will shine through their suffering with the help of the Word of God. Lord, I thank you that you give us a glorious promise, namely that we have your treasure in our jars of clay, And that although we may be pressed, we are not crushed. Although we are persecuted, we are never abandoned. And although we may feel struck down, we are not destroyed. We thank you that though we, in our mortal bodies, are fading day by day, yet your resurrection life lives within us. Help us, Lord, to shine for your glory. Help the world to see that you are real and that suffering can be overcome through the love and grace of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.